Welcome to the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Now, here's your host, Tyler Aki, and editor of Chicago District Golf Magazine, Barry Cronin.
Happy Sunday morning to you. This is the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Aki alongside Mike Gilligan today from the CDGA. Barry Cronin's got the week off, and we've got a ton to talk about with the Open Championship coming up next week. We've got Petty Greenstein from PointsBet joining us at 8 o'clock today, and also Matt Golden from Tullymore is going to give us the latest on golf and travel and all that good stuff. But Mike, as we dive in to everything Open Championship, you know, a lot of buzz about Tiger Woods is finally returning to the golf course in a major format here. We did not see him at the PGA's the U.S. Open, a couple weeks ago. But a lot of buzz now around this. However, there's a new wrinkle into this entire world, this entire drama between LIV Golf and the rest of golf, and it is the RNA disinviting Greg Norman from the Open Champions Dinner at St. Andrews. The CEO of LIV Golf, Greg Norman, who just happens to be a two-time Open Championship winner.
Yeah, no doubt, Tyler. Good morning to you, and good morning to everybody here in Chicago. Yeah, I guess in a way it's a little bit petty. Greg Norman has a really significant piece of history to go along, you know, with the 150 years being a two-time winner and being in a lot of finishes on Sunday and coming up on the second, third, or fourth place end of the deal. But he, you know, he was an icon at the British Open for many, many years. And for him not to be included in that, I think is a bit short-sighted. I understand the rationale and the reasoning, and they don't want the distraction, but I don't think the distraction had to really be there. I think they could have had him there and had him a part of the overall celebration of golf, because that's really what it is at the end of the day. The birthplace of golf, 150 years. And I think it's really sad, to be honest with you.
I'm with you. I mean, to me, it strikes me a little in the sense of, okay, let's imagine a family and some kid does something wrong. And there's punishment handed down, whatever, right? There's other ways that the world of golf is going to look down and frown upon Greg Norman because of his involvement with LIV Golf. Well, that doesn't mean they're not invited to Thanksgiving dinner, right? They're not disinvited to Christmas dinner, right? This is one of those situations where has he done something that's maybe different from what the family expects of him? Yes, absolutely. I get it. There may be other ways that you are punished, but to me, this is one of those things where, like you mentioned, Mike, the birthplace of golf, a huge anniversary of this championship tournament, the 150th playing of the Open at the old course at St. Andrews. It feels, like you said, petty, short-sighted. I'm with you on all that. I don't understand this. Well, I understand the move. I get it. I'm just surprised it came down the way that it did.
Yeah, likewise. You know, when you think of Greg Norman and all the pictures throughout his career, it's holding the claret jug, the shots of him being in the big, tall, thick stuff and grinding out a shot with a big, you know, bale of hay on the end of his iron when, you know, he's digging it out of there and making some incredible rescues and incredible pars. These are the only two majors he won. So it really, I think, is, you know, it's going to hurt to the core for Greg Norman, knowing him from the days of working with him back in the late 80s, early 90s. He's a very proud individual. He may not say so on the outside now, but it has to be stinging and it has to be resonating in a way that just doesn't feel real good to him today.
I'm wondering, too, with all these things that are going to come down the pipeline, like this is just one of what is going to be many sort of, I don't want to say mistreatments, but different treatments that he is going to receive from the golf world here. How much of it is going to change his philosophy moving forward? Is he going to try to work in a little more lockstep and try to collaborate at all with the PGA tournament or with the PGA Tour? Is there going to be any sort of pivot back towards the center of the road here from Greg Norman from the right lane, from the left lane, and try to get these two things to work together. I don't know if we're ever going to get to that point, but it's things like this that maybe can start to bring some sort of harmony between the two entities.
Yeah, absolutely, no doubt. I think we all as golf fans would love to see the PGA Tour and LIV come to some sort of an arrangement that's good for everybody. I think Rory's hinted it towards that. But at the same time, my hope is that Greg Norman begins to do just as you say, move this thing back, you know, back to center, or in a way that does avail the two sides to talk, to work things out. And at the end of the day, make the game of golf win. You know, let's keep in mind, Jack Nicklaus wanted to be in the position of Greg Norman. He wanted to say yes to this. It was only his people who told him, yeah, this probably isn't the best idea for you and your legacy. But Jack Nicklaus believed in this concept. Now, would he have gone about it the way that Greg Norman has? Absolutely not. And I think where the train jumped off the track was not making that first call to Jay Monahan and saying, let's sit down and let's create a PGA Tour Plus. You know, we'll have eight mini majors out there to really bolster the PGA Tour in a way that, you know, we can make golf completely different and better for our members, that being the PGA Tour members. And at the same time, helping out the Korn Ferry Tour by when you bring eight guys up to, you know, eight new, or you bring new players up to the eight new events and you call them the mini majors, you then could bring up all the Korn Ferry players up to replace the spots that would be open at the regular tour events, and thus really helping, you know, build this thing in a way that, you know, you're starting to really see your future stars tomorrow in a way that would be totally unique, different. And I think as golf fans, we would all benefit. We would all benefit by seeing more golf in a way that is good for the PGA Tour, the Korn Ferry Tour, and for this novel concept. And the amount of good that they could have been doing for charities in all of these communities and around the world, you think it's big now with what the PGA Tour is doing, but it could have been just incredibly bigger. But my hope is that, yeah, hopefully Greg Norman starts to wake up and start to say, you know what, I need to work with it and not be so against it and so abrasive about the way I'm going about trying to make this thing work.
I'm glad you brought up the Jack Nicklaus factor, too, because it's one of those things. Is Greg Norman the right ambassador for this right now? And I think the way he's sort of gone about it and kind of been standing there like this golf czar, if you will, of this is the new golf. This is the new era of golf. And yeah, did golf need a shakeup? Absolutely. It absolutely did. And I think there are plenty of things in terms of how LIV Golf and the product that they put out there that I think is more appealing than what the PGA Tour does. But I do think there is plenty of cachet with what the PGA Tour has built, what the PGA Tour's structure is as well. And you want to try to bring these two and collaborate. I just don't know if that is going to be in the cards. Whereas if it were someone like Jack Nicklaus behind all of this, then you're probably talking about someone who's a little more measured in everything that's going down, and you may see more steps towards collaboration and working together and trying to make sure both the league as well as the players are beneficiaries of the sport that they're playing in.
No doubt. And I think as we start to see this thing unfold a little bit, I think we're scratching our heads wondering if, in fact, Greg Norman was the right choice. And maybe we see down the line that Greg Norman isn't going to be the choice, but only time will tell us that, unless Greg Norman decides to change his view and his outlook and his big picture thinking. But yeah, I often wonder where would we be right now if Jack Nicklaus was at the steering wheel of this thing versus Greg Norman and the baggage and the issues he's had with the PGA Tour and, you know, working in a fashion that he is versus, hey, can't we all get along type of approach? And really, you know, golf has been something that has always brought people together. Whether it's you're playing with your friends, you're doing business out on the golf course. You know, you golf always brings people together in a social business way. And I think the thing is, golf fans that we're struggling with, we're seeing continental divide right now. We're seeing our icons, you know, at issue with one another. When, you know, you think about Ryder Cups, you think about President Cup teams. It's a team oriented. It's we're all in this together. And, you know, they genuinely root for one another. If they can't win, they want to see one of their good friends, whether it's one of their own, you know, countrymen win. You know, we saw it at the PGA Championship, for crying out loud, when Peters didn't win. And he had, you know, his buddy almost in tears for him. But now we're seeing golf in a whole different matter where, you know, I've seen statements already where I'm not going to talk to that guy anymore, you know, or I'm not going to play with him. I'm not going to acknowledge him. And I think that's the thing that's really troubling for anyone that is a golf fan through and through. I understand the Saudi Arabia thing. I'm putting all politics aside for a second. It just doesn't feel right as a golfer and a golf fan to feel this much consternation over a game we love and we only want to see get better, stronger as a result of it. And it's just, it's actually sad seeing the thing unravel a bit.
Right. And I think you bring up the part of the camaraderie of it all too. You can't split that. It's so disheartening to see what is being done in that regard, where you mentioned guys aren't talking to each other. Like, these majors where these LIV golfers are coming back and playing in these tournaments, it's awkward. It's awkward for a lot of these guys when you're putting that threesome or that twosome on your final pairings. It can be, and we've heard a number of players come out and talk about how, yeah, it's odd. I don't know. I think, what was it, Justin Thomas? He was very vocal about this. The first major, once LIV Golf kind of got its feet under itself, like, I don't know if I'm going to talk to that guy. I don't know if I can interact with that guy on the course. It's going to be awkward seeing guys around the clubhouse, seeing guys out on the course. It's going to be a weird, weird experience for everybody, and we're kind of going through it right now. And listen, as golf fans, we just want to see mom and dad stop fighting, right? Because this is something that it brings us together. We love talking about it here on this show. We love talking about this at the course, at the driving range, all that stuff. And right now, you've got a little bit of divide between the two entities. And I don't know if it's something that can necessarily be repaired. And it might be because of the man who is in charge of one of the defecting entities in LIV Golf and in Greg Norman. It's going to be an interesting couple of months, perhaps years, to see how these two cars kind of meet at this fork in the road and which way they're both going to go.
Yeah, and that, I think you hit the nail right on the head. It the longer we fight, it's just going to be longer before we can get the two sides back together again. And if LIV were to go away, what happens to all these players? Do you think that the PGA Tour and the European Tour all take these guys back again? Do they put them in a penalty box for a certain amount of time? I mean, I don't know that they're going to walk right off if that thing were to end and then walk right back out on the PGA Tour with, again, with hard feelings, with open arms. Who knows? But there is this divide right now, and I think we saw it with the pairings at the Scottish Open in the beginning. They took the few players and kind of put them in their own little pairings at the end. It's kind of like, okay, here's for this group, but then we're going to isolate you guys just to stay within your own now. And I just found that very telling.
Yeah, very, very Scarlet Letter-esque there. And I don't know, like, you brought up the point of, will they accept these guys back after, if something were to happen to LIV Golf? And I really think they wouldn't have a choice but to accept them back. And I say that because at the end of the day, there are still many, many iconic names and faces associated with LIV Golf right now that I think it would be too much of a burden for the PGA. And it would be awfully petty. And listen, I get that this is both of these organizations have acted in high levels of pettiness through the first couple of months here of the LIV Golf's existence, but I think it's one of those things that ultimately yeah, there may be some sort of penalty, some suspension for an undisclosed length of time, but eventually we would see the PGA Tour welcome these guys back. I think you'd have to. You'd absolutely have to.
Well, and I agree. I think you would have to. If you put a penalty on them in any way, shape, or form, for a lot of these guys, you know, time is now, as we're witnessing with Tiger here, time is going to become their enemy. But at the same time, I think you would hear a bit of a sigh of relief from the USGA, from the RNA, from the PGA of America, you know, and the Masters, because they want their champions back. They want to be able to have their past champions play like they always have for the decades and decades, because they hold their champions in such high regard. But now they're being put into a position where, just like we're seeing with the, you know, the British Open, they're going to chastise a guy that's won their event, champion golfer of the year, two times, Greg Norman, and he is not associated with it anymore. And I just think, as a just as an avid golf fan, it breaks my heart.
Yeah, it's one thing to reject his request for a special exemption to play, right? Like, that happened a little bit earlier in the year. It's another thing to say, hey, you can't come back to the dinner. That, to me, was petty. It was really petty by the RNA. All right, when we come back, I do want to talk a little bit about what we were alluding to a little bit earlier, Mike, and that was the comments made by Rory McIlroy. Can the PGA Tour and LIV Golf start to collaborate? You will hear from Rory McIlroy when we come back. And also, Tiger Woods is on the prowl. He will be there at the Open Championship. But could this be it for Tiger? We'll discuss all of that when we come back. It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too. But more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000.
Here are your hosts, Barry Cronin
and Tyler Rocky.
It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. This segment sponsored by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our three Chicagoland locations today. We will talk with Teddy Greenstein from PointsBet coming up at 8 o'clock. Get you the latest odds and everything for the Open Championship. We'll also make our Open Championship fantasy picks as well today, Mike. Mike Gilligan, by the way, in for Barry Cronin here on the CDGA Golf Show. But getting into what we were talking about, we've been talking this morning about Greg Norman disinvited from the Open Championship dinner. And it's time that these two entities start to get together, collaborate a little bit, because we want to see golf in its purest form, in its most elite form as well. And that means that all players are playing, no matter what organization they're affiliated with. But somehow these two entities need to start to work things out. And it's one of those things where, what does that roadmap look like, right? Is it, oh, the PGA Tour is just going to absorb all the money that the LIV Tour is getting? Or is it that the LIV Tour is effectively buying out the PGA Tour? Like, somewhere there has to be a middle ground for these two entities. I don't know how drastic, and I'm also not smart enough to know what that sort of proclamation and deal would look like either. But do you, Mike, have any idea, if you were to somehow merge these two entities, what something like that could look like?
Well, I think, you know, you'd have to bring the two sides together in a way that, you know, makes sense for not only the purses to which they play for, but I think it also goes back to the communities that they visit, to really give back to the communities that they go to. And even that they don't go to, and the different initiatives, I think it kind of starts there. But it also goes back to, how can we take care of the players that, if you broke this thing up into thirds, the top third, the middle third, and the bottom third, and I'm not saying just on the PGA Tour. You have to remember that the Korn Ferry Tour is very much a part of the PGA Tour business model. It's the developmental tour. How can we make that tour even better? Because, you know, it's amazing when you go to the Korn Ferry events, you're watching players that are so good, but yet nobody goes, really. You know, I think AAA baseball and AA baseball games get more, you know, crowds and sellout crowds, and they are the developmental teams to eventually feed into the big leagues, right? So How can we make that tour even more relevant, but also allow these individuals who are fantastic players to earn a living that is respectful and is one that is, you know, I'll go to the word comfortable, in a way that allows them to compete at a level even bigger and grander than the stage that they're on, only because they have some security in all of this. You know, I was playing golf with a guy the other day who played in a pro-am at the Glen Club, and he actually felt very sorry for the pro that he went, that he was paired with, because he knew he was struggling. He was struggling to put food on the table for himself in the towns and the communities he was visiting, as well as for his family back home. I mean, you know, here's a guy that is probably running out of time, but the guy, you know, shoots amazing numbers, but just still not good enough to break through on the tour. So I think it all starts in a grassroots fashion. But when you have an endless array of wealth and money and resources behind you, I would have to believe the pay grades higher than you and I, Tyler, can get together and really make this thing a win-win-win for everybody involved, and really, you know, make these purses the best they can possibly be, but also maybe taking some concepts and taking television in a way that we've never seen it before. And how can we do it, and why can we do it? It's because of the amount of resources and wealth that would come along with, no longer could they say, well, it's so expensive to put cameras on every hole. Well, maybe not anymore, because they're actually doing it on those live events.
Right. I struggled with the idea too of what does a schedule look like, right? What does a calendar look like in a merge? Because that, yes, is money number one for why a lot of these guys are leaving, if not all of these guys are leaving? Absolutely, right? It's probably 90% of the reason. But I think another 10%, or close to 10% of the reason why some of these guys are leaving, is I play 8 events a year. I have to work 8 weekends a year. Like, that is very enticing, I think, as well, for a lot of these players. I mean, we heard it last week with Pat Perez, and he talked about, I'm in the twilight of my career, right? I'm probably not going to win anything big on the PGA Tour ever again. This is a lottery ticket for me to be able to just kind of satellite my way into this and get paid a large sum, and only have to work about 8 weekends a year. See your family. You don't have to miss the births of children, or big milestone birthdays and big events with your kids' lives too. That's, I think, another important part of this. And I think that's part of what made it so appetizing for a lot of people. So here's Rory McIlroy. He was talking a little bit earlier this week about PGA and LIV and the divide that these two are creating. But he also talked about the need for them to start working together and trying to figure something out so that everybody can be beneficiaries in this adventure of golf. Here is what Rory McIlroy had to say earlier this week.
If people are wanting to spend that much money in the game of golf, that's wonderful. I just wish that we could have got to a point where they were spending that money with the existing structure that has existed for, you know, nearly, you know, many decades within golf, instead of being this big disruptor. But at the end of the day, I think it'll, as I said, it will sort itself out, and it'll, you know, everyone has to pivot and change and try to adapt and be better, and you know, and hopefully we get to that stage. But as you said, right now it's sort of messy, and it's all the narrative isn't good. It's splitting the game instead of everyone coming together, and I think everyone needs to try to come together a little bit more.
Now, I don't think LIV Golf is going to bend the financial knee to the PGA Tour. Because, and I think part of it may be the leadership too. I mean, this could be Greg Norman's, I was right all along, and really want to stick it to this. And that's why I don't know if these two sides can come to some sort of an agreement in the near future. I think this could be something that's drawn out for quite some time.
And I think he hit the nail right on the head. Messy. That's exactly what this is. It's a big mess. And, you know, and I think he also made a good point where it didn't get started off in the right way. They didn't use the existing associations, the entities that govern the great game of golf, and they went about it in a, what I'll call, kind of a cavalier, kind of, you know, rogue thinking way, which can be good in some fashions and some sort of takes of business. But in this, Not so much. You know, golf is a game that has a tremendous history, and we'll learn more about that this week as everything unfolds in St. Andrews. But I think what happened was that they weren't respecting the history and the associations that govern our game, and the thing got started off really on the wrong foot. And you made a comment about, well, how do you bring them together? How would it look? You know, next year they're talking about 14 events, right? Well, they have eight. And I think eight might be the magic number to stay with if we were to merge these things together. Because the way I would see it is you would have one in every month except the month of a major. So you have four majors. So in April, May, June, and July, you wouldn't have any of these events. But in January, you'd have one in February, and so forth, so that we would have viewership and some really interesting things to watch, you know, because sometimes less is more. And having these ginormous purses, having the greatest in the world playing, you know, on Thanksgiving weekend might be intriguing television. During the holidays, another great event. I mean, the Skins game captivated us for decades on Thanksgiving weekend. And I remember people going, are you kidding me? Four people? Who's going to want to watch that? Well, a lot of people did for a lot of years, and it was captivating TV because they had the icons involved in the game. So I think if you can get the world's best all in the same room playing or on the same course playing for a tremendous amount of money at very poignant times for television, I think you got a win-win right there.
I just don't know. Like, all right, think about how these conversations would have to come together. It would involve Jay Monahan and Greg Norman getting in a room, sitting down with each other. I just can't see that happening anytime soon. The way that each of these guys have gone about their business in deflecting and throwing shots across the other way at the other side, I don't see the two of them sitting down in a room anytime soon with each other. I think we are that far away from it all right now.
I would agree. But, unfortunately, yeah, in the short term. But, you know, in life, time has a funny way of healing all kinds of issues and wounds. So hopefully as the time wears on, this thing will start to make more sense, and hopefully common sense will begin to prevail, especially in Greg Norman's 6 inches between his ears. And maybe we can get some resolution to this. But, you know, because unfortunately, if nothing changes, you know, the only thing that would or could change is the way the backers are thinking about this. If they aren't making money and this thing kind of stays sort of in that zone of, well, they've got some players, but not really all the greatest. And it's sort of just out there and it's not being significant. Because right now, if you turn on, you know, the Golf Channel, they don't even report it. It doesn't fall on the ticker. It because of their contracts, obviously, with the PGA Tour. So it's not becoming mainstream reported golf. It's not being respected as such until we bring these sides back together again. And then I think it will be, you know, a known entity of sort.
Absolutely. All right. When we come back, we will get into all things Tiger Woods. He is making his return to the Open Championship, his return to golf. We will discuss that coming up next. The segment sponsored by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our three Chicagoland locations today.
Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Barry Cronin and Tyler Rocky.
It's the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Aki alongside Mike Gilligan today. Barry Cronin with today off. The segment sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. If you miss anything, we talked a lot about LIV and PGA trying to find some sort of common ground. Check it out on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just look for the CDGA Golf Show. So the big buzz, or at least what we thought was supposed to be the big buzz leading into the Open Championship, was the return of Tiger Woods to the mainstream golf world. Tiger will compete in the Open Championship. It will be his first since he was down at the PGA Championship at Southern Hills. And it was a struggle. It was really tough to watch really the two events that we've seen Tiger compete in, because it kind of took you through this roller coaster of, wow, he did it. He made a little charge here. He made the cut. He still got it in him. But then there were moments where it's like, are we sure this guy should still be out here right now? I think it was abundantly clear during the Masters once he got into that third and fourth rounds and his first event back. I remember the conversation at the time was always, wow, could you believe that Tiger Woods would be playing in this year's Masters as opposed to Phil Mickelson? And then the same thing rolled over into the PGA Championship out in Tulsa, and you're thinking to yourself, wow, like, he did it, he made the cut, and then he gets into that third round, really struggles, and withdraws from the tournament after those three rounds, and it was like, it was tough to watch. It was really tough to watch, but now he's had a little bit more time in between getting that body ready, but is this going to be it for Tiger? He's talked so glowingly about the Open, how much it means to him, and could this be just the formula for a send-off for him of, yes, this is how he's going to go out. He's going to go out playing in his favorite tournament.
Yeah, no doubt, Tyler. You know, a lot of people don't realize how much Tiger actually cherishes his wins of the British Open. In fact, he cherishes those more than any other major. So that is how significant, specifically St. Andrews, and what the British Open really means to Tiger and his legacy. But yeah, you asked the question, are we witnessing the end of Tiger Woods at St. Andrews this week as he plays in the 150th British Open on the fabled old course? But, you know, what are we going to be feeling when he walks over the Swilkin Bridge after teeing off on 18 for the final time, you know, whether it's going to be on Friday or Sunday? And I think as fans, we have to put things back into perspective. It was 17 months ago where he had that terrible accident, and, you know, they thought he was going to lose the leg. They, you know, wasn't even sure he's going to be able to walk correctly or if again, and keep the leg. So for him to just be able to have a quality of life that he has is remarkable. But for him to play at this level and to be able to continue to do this, I don't know. But again, I won't put anything past this man, because he tends to, you know, when the chips are down, rise in a way that most could never even dream of doing. But he is 46 years old in a body that's been broken down from surgeries, you know, numbering in the double digits. And, you know, it's going to be tough to watch. I think if things don't go well for him, it really will be watching a funeral for a friend in a way. But yeah, Tiger is so iconic that he will have the crowd pulling for him in a way that I don't think he's ever felt in his entire career, as he will come Thursday and Friday and hopefully over the weekend. And if he were able to muster up and do something special, well, then you never know. Now he's only two away from Jack, and the Masters would be the next major.
This would be one of the greatest sports feats I think we would ever see. And I'm not just saying in terms of, like, this would be one of the most miraculous sort of turnarounds. And if for a guy who we've seen do that thing so many times in his career, it would be just an otherworldly thing. I mean, Tiger brings fans to golf. He simply, like, there's so many people who I know who, unless Tiger's playing, their golf radar is not going off on a Thursday or a Friday. And if he's not playing on a Saturday or Sunday, you can definitely forget it at that point. But I do think with Tiger, like, this would be one of those almost like Peyton Manning moments, right? Like, this is the perfect way to sort of send it off. And if he were to somehow, some way, pull off a victory here, we are going to talk to Teddy Greenstein in a little bit. And he has some intriguing thoughts on Tiger Woods and what the betting market is sort of playing out with him. But it's gotten to the point now in Tiger's career where we're celebrating made cuts. And Tiger, I mean, a made cut was like the sun coming up in the morning in his former years. And that to me is how we're starting to see this thing dwindle. And it's sad. It's sad to see it come to this point right now with Tiger Woods. But I just don't know if he's got this one last charge in him. And it's because of the physical ailments. Like, people have counted him out. And sure, there were a number of other events going on in his life beforehand as well. But it's, you can see the body break down. And for an athlete, when you see the body go the way that Tiger's is going at the current state, it's so tough to watch. It's so tough to see him have to use clubs as canes at times on certain holes. And that's kind of where we're at right now with Tiger. And that's why I'm skeptical if we are going to see one last charge here out of him. Sure, he may make the cut this weekend, this upcoming week, rather. But I just don't know if it's going to be one of those all-time Tiger performances where he is hoisting a trophy at the end of it, or even inside the top 10. I'm still very, very skeptical that we are going to get to that point of ever seeing that Tiger Woods ever again.
Well, exactly. And it's not from a desire to want to do it. It's really what the body will allow him to do now. So remember, we haven't seen him play any competitive golf, really any golf for that matter, other than, you know, in the Pro-Am earlier in the week. And there you could see he's a little rusty in shooting 77 and 74. So, you know, he's not able to practice and do the things that he would do to prepare traditionally for the major. So Father Time does have a way of winning over time. And in this case, with the issues that Tiger has had physically, it just gives Father Time a bigger head start on taking down and, you know, ending careers earlier than we wish. I mean, it'd be amazing. What if he never had this accident? You know, obviously the discussion today would be a whole lot different. He might already have won. But all I can tell you is that he is a very superstitious individual on certain levels. And I don't know if you know this or not, but he stays in room 269 every single time he goes to St. Andrews. And the reason he does is that's the score he shot to win the 2000 British Open. And he has always stayed in room 269 for the 72-hole score. And he's doing it again this week. So he's trying to align all the stars, starting where he rests his head at night.
Right. Here's a hypothetical for you. Who wins the next significant tournament from the Woods family? Will it be Tiger or will it be Charlie?
Well, I, you know what? Right now, I still will not bet against Tiger Woods. Ask me the same question this time next Sunday and my answer may change. But right now, I'm going to stay with the guy. I'm going to stay with the guy who ceases to amaze me on every level, you know, throughout his career. Just when you count him out, that's when he rises to the occasion. Does he have one more in him? Yeah, maybe not. But, you know, and the reason I have a bit of a doubt myself is if you watch how he's walking right now, there is still a very noticeable limp. And fortunately, he'll be on more flat ground, you know, less undulating, you know, U.S. Open difficulty. Like, there was no way he could have gotten around the country club during the U.S. Open. But hopefully this venue will be user friendly for him. You know, the golf course is running fast and firm, and that means that he's going to be able to go into these greens with a lot of short irons if he drives it well. And if he's on, you know, on par with his driver next week and putting the ball in play, well, now we have game on, and it all comes down to the flat stick for him.
Right. It's going to be a stamina battle for him. That's been the thing that has really hurt him in these third and fourth rounds. He's put everything into making the cut. And with the state of his health, making the cut probably feels like a championship for him. But after that, we see that's when we start to see the wheels fall off. So we will be on Tiger Watch all week, and we're looking forward to talking about it next week. Mike will be with Barry and myself once again, talking all things about the Open Championship. When we come back, we will whip around what's going on at the Scottish Open, the Barbasol Championship. All that is coming up next. This segment was sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National.
From PGA to where you should play. This is the CDGA Golf Show with Tyler Rocky and Barry Cronin. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. Tyler Rocky alongside Mike Gilligan in for Barry Cronin today. Let's whip around what's going on the PGA Tour. I guess we can start with what's happening in the Barbasol Championship, and I think we can just say, I think they're playing right now. I think they're playing. They have dealt with a lot of weather out in Kentucky so far this week. But elsewhere at the Scottish Open, right now, Xander Schauffele is your leader through 54 holes. He is two strokes up on Rafa Cabrera-Bello. Jordan Spieth also playing well. He's got the ace this week, too. He is four under, sitting three strokes back of Xander. Ryan Palmer and Jordan Smith also at four under right now. They're going to tee off at around 2:30 later on today. But yeah, this has been one of those tournaments. It can propel you into a little bit of success at the Open Championship. But what have you seen out of Xander Schauffele, who's starting to pick up a little bit of momentum here in 2022?
Oh, no doubt. Xander is in the zone right now. And with a win, you know, at the Travelers and now potentially winning this week, that would be two in a row for him. And, you know, going into St. Andrews with a lot of confidence. And Xander has got, you know, all facets of the game pretty well wired, and he will definitely be, you know, among the top of the leaderboard. I unless something happens between his travel from where they are now to over to St. Andrews, I can't see how this kid isn't going to be, you know, within at least the top 10. I mean, his game is so on. And then Jordan Spieth lights it up with a couple of eagles yesterday.
Yeah.
So he climbs back into this thing. And you know, this event really gives you a, kind of an interesting preview as to who's got their body, you know, adjusted to the time, the conditions. And some of these guys really embrace, you know, link-style golf. And it fits their eye. It fits the way they flight the ball. And you know, this is a unique, different way of playing golf. And that's what makes the four majors so fantastic, is watching what will occur next week here at the birthplace of golf.
So one of the other notable things that I see on the scorecard now are some of the names that got cut. All right. Colin Morikawa didn't make the cut. Will Zalatoris didn't make the cut. Victor Hovland, Justin Thomas. Those are four guys that also have had to answer a lot of questions about LIV Golf. And is it one of those things where it's starting to seep into their play where it feels like they're fighting two battles here? Not only are they fighting the battle on the golf course, but they are fighting the battle out in the media as well. And where is their next golf tournament going to be played? And who? Why are you not jumping ship to LIV? Why have you stayed loyal to the PGA Tour? Do you think it's starting to really seep in and start to affect some of these guys' games?
Well, you know, the mental psyche is a very fragile thing. And for some, they are much tougher and stronger in that regard. And some, not so much. And, you know, it's funny. It doesn't take a whole lot to have you think about something else while you need to be focused on the task at hand. The mental side of this game is a razor-thin situation where even the littlest things will nick it, dull it, and take you off of your game. And they always say the toughest 6 inches in golf is right between your ears. So distractions don't bode well for anybody. The guy who can be locked in and be, you know, almost like Jack Nicklaus back in the day when he was playing and a train horn went off in the middle of his swing and they asked him, well, did that affect you? And he said, what train horn? That guy could get so locked in and tune everything and anybody out. And it's going to be those players that can do the same thing, because there is going to be a lot of distractions at St. Andrews. The crowds are going to be unreal. You know, again, a celebration of golf. And now we're really coming out of this whole COVID thing. And so it's going to be a celebration on so many different levels. The crowds are going to be loud. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of things said, you know, to different players because of different comments and different things that have been going on in the media. So some of these guys have elephant ears and some of them don't. And I think that's going to play a big part in this weekend or next
week. All right. When we come back, we will check in with Teddy Greenstein from PointsBet. He'll give you all the latest odds and info you need for your gambling week ahead with the Open Championship. That is coming up next. This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin.